When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's easy to create your dream kitchen with Clearview Cabinetry at Menards. With multiple finishes to choose from, you'll be sure to find a style that fits perfect for you. Clearview Cabinetry offers features like soft closed doors and drawers as standard and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Explore Clearview's cabinet options and start designing today in store or on Menards.com, where you can find more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the No Bad Dogs podcast. I've been on the road for about 3 weeks now. I'm finally home. Yay. Let's see. Where did we go? We started off in California. I did some TV stuff for a shelter, and that dog is now adopted out thanks to my friends over at Primal Canine. Shout out to Mike Jones. That dog that was in the shelter for almost 2 years, Iceman, has been adopted out for the Valor Human Trafficking Survivor Program, which is amazing. So a dog that was in the shelter for that long is now literally basically becoming a service dog for human trafficking survivor, which is insane. So, so cool. And then we went over to Puerto Rico and I did some training privately for about a week, which is an incredible experience. And then we did an amazing seminar in the Seattle area and it was mind-blowing. You know, I'm almost getting sick of talking about how life-changing experiences happen at our seminars because it's just like you guys are probably so sick of hearing it. But seriously, my seminars are life-changing. It's for me and for everyone else. It's, you know, and I made this post on Instagram where I was like, man, every single time that we do a seminar, it's just like this emotional, overwhelming, like I just want to pour my heart out into these posts to just be like, gosh dang, like you guys don't know what's going on. But then I realized like I'm probably not going to do that anymore because I'm just like if people come, they come. But like the amount of love and empathy and happiness and kindness and all of that stuff, it's like it's overwhelming. And then I started realizing it's just the community that we've built. I am so proud of the community that we've built. And every time we have a seminar, it's just so much love and everyone's networking and smiling and happy and having a good time. And it's incredible. And if you've been to my seminar, you know what I'm talking about. And it's an incredible experience. That's why it's called the Tom Davis Experience, because it is an experience. And I'm so proud of this community. I really, really am. It just kind of switched to that where I'm like, you know what? This is our community. This is what I've built over the years. And people were commenting on my YouTube or my Instagram post. They're like, dude, if you put out love, kindness, and happiness, that's just what you're going to get. And that's what we've done. It was amazing. So thank you guys so much, whoever went to that seminar. It's one of our biggest seminars yet. We had, I think, 80 people show up, which is incredible. Really, really happy for everyone that came out. And, you know, there was a lot of tears. There was a lot of sweat. There was a lot of hard work that went through. The venue was amazing. Shout out to Puppy Manners. And so many people came up and told me that they love my podcast, and that's like the number one thing that they listen to. So we're going to keep hammering on this thing, guys. Thank you guys so much for the support. This is a podcast that is going to be beneficial for literally anybody. This is something that dog trainers can send their clients. This is something that dog owners who are struggling will really, really resonate with. This is a dog owner who is frustrated. You can tell in the beginning of the conversation, she's like, I'm doing okay, yeah. And then by the end, she's like, holy crap, I have so much to do. I didn't know all these things, and she's been led down the wrong road so many times. So I hope you guys enjoy this video, hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you're listening to this on Spotify, please leave us a review and download the podcast as well as iTunes review chart. Leave us a review. It'd mean the world to me. I'm not going to do the questions just right now because honestly, that's what was slowing me down on releasing podcasts so much is doing the answer questions at the end. So I will do them. I'm going to get caught back up on them maybe this week, but right now I just want to get this out to you guys. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate you guys supporting supporting me. We are coming to Europe and the UK later this year, and two more seminars in the US. So everyone's like, oh, when are you announcing these things? I announce them here. I announce them on socials. So stay tuned, and I hope you guys enjoy this podcast.
So I've been stressed out. I've tried training with my girls. They're just, I cannot get them to listen to me for nothing. I train with them daily. I started out with just treats, and then I leveled up and did, like, I made them steak or chicken, stuff like that, that, you know, they don't get on an everyday basis, to train them with that.
Okay.
My rescue, she'll listen to me before my older one will. But the other big issue, so the main big thing is my neighbor and her dogs. So they're barking basically at the other dogs when they come out. But my neighbor, she lets her dogs run free, and they come up to our gate, bark at my dogs, and then my dogs get going barking back. So it's been escalated to the point where, like, my dogs bark aggressively now.
Okay.
That has become a big issue.
So you're talking, just to paint a picture here, you have two dogs, and when you let your dog out back in your yard, your neighbor's dogs are also out back in their yard, and they are barking at each other.
Basically, yes. She lets them run up to our gate, and that's what gets mine going a bit more than they should. I mean, I get it, every dog's going to bark, but... Mm-hmm. For some reason, like, hers come over and bark at ours, and then, oh, at mine, and mine just get going and going and going. And I've got to the point of, like, I'll put a leash on mine. If I know that they're outside, I'll have a leash on mine. I'll let her roam free with the leash until I see that, you know, the dogs are going to come over and approach, or they're going to go by the gate to redirect my dogs. That's kind of worked, but not really. She's still, you know, my older one is more set in her ways of just barking at them and not listening to my recalls for nothing.
Okay. How long have you been working on the recall with them?
I'd say, like, maybe close to 2 months now.
Okay. And with that recall, what does it look like? Like, how are you setting it up? How are you doing it?
So I carry a treat bag on me. The treat bag set up with one pouch has normal treats in it.
Okay.
And then the other pouch has either, like, the steak or chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And so on a normal day, if the other dogs aren't outside and no one's outside, I'll sit with the one. And I'll keep, you know, I'll be at a distance and, you know, in my own little world, and make sure she's at her distance. And then I'll be like, Callie, come. And she will. She does great with that. She will come. Since I started doing the steak, like, I just started with the steak this week.
Okay.
And since I've been doing that, she does come. But if that distraction is going on and I have the steak, she won't. She's more focused into that.
Yeah, makes sense. You are basically predicating your recall and your obedience off of motivation. So once another mm-hmm. higher motivation comes into the picture, you're mm-hmm. gone. So that's easy. Yeah. That makes total sense. That happens all the time. So
wow.
Yeah. So super, super easy. What you should start doing, and you could have been doing this for years, and you still would have been like, I don't understand. This is... You know, it's not working. It's so difficult. And the reality is if you're not doing the right things, you could do that until your dogs pass away, and you'd still never get any success. And you'd be just as frustrated. So the good thing is you're doing the wrong things, and that's the best thing that you could be doing, because that means you're trying to do all this stuff. It's not working, but it's not supposed to work.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you're trying to go to a destination, but you're not on the right road, and you're like, I don't understand why I can't get there. I'm like, because you're not on the right road.
Yeah, no, it gets frustrating, because it's just like, I don't know what else. You know what I mean? That's where I'm like, I don't know what else to do. I've been through 3 trainers. I don't know what else. And that's when, like, because I posted a thing on Facebook asking, like, you know, who knows who, and then someone mentioned you, and then I looked you up, and I was like, oh, okay, he seems to have like good reviews and good, you know, training, so
okay,
try this route.
yeah sure, cool. So let's talk about it a little bit. So when you're doing any type of behavior, so behavior is going to be a command: heel, down, sit, stay, place, mm-hmm. come, etc. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing these things, you have to make sure that you go through the foundation and you build the foundation first before you ever apply it in a realistic scenario. So there's levels to that. So there's making sure that the foundation is built in a very non-distracted environment. So I know that you're outside doing this, which is okay. It's not detrimental. However, I would recommend doing the behavior development and foundation in a less distracted environment, like inside. You don't have to. It's just you gotta remember. Think about the recall off of the other dog. That is 100% like a level 3. Like, that is very hard. You're outside. Mm-hmm. There's a heavy distraction, and that's the hardest it's going to get. Another dog mm-hmm. barking at your dog's through a fence, that doesn't get any harder than that. So that's like mm-hmm. a level 3 type of ask, right? So think about it like this. You have a dog, and you're basically trying to win the Tour de France here, right? But you have not learned how to ride a bike yet. So your recall, mm-hmm. you're about I wouldn't even say halfway, but let's just make it fair and say you're halfway there, where I would say there's two things here that you have to really remember. The number one thing that you're making a mistake on right now, why you're not really yielding a lot of results outside of the dog might not knowing the behavior as well as they need to, is going to be the accountability if they don't come to you. That's the most important thing you're missing. Because right now, if you say, dog come, and it's in it for them, and it's beneficial for them, and they smell the steak, and they get paid, mm-hmm. that's great. But mm-hmm. what's happening with you is if they don't come, the absolute worst case scenario is you just ask them again. So that's not going to work with dogs. They do not care if you ask them again. When they are heavily mm-hmm. So think about it like this, and this is sometimes what helps people, is if I said, okay, put a 12-ounce steak, cut it up, put some salt and pepper on it, put it in a dish, give your dog the salt and pepper, and then recall your dog off it. You go, no way. They're gonna eat it first, and then they're gonna come, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you're doing, 100%. It's the same exact situation.
Okay.
Your dog is going to the fence, putting their nose in the steak, and you're like, come. No, they're not gonna come. The thing that you're missing is the accountability, which is going to be putting your leash back on the dog and making sure that your dog knows that there's some sort of consequence if they decide to blow you off, which is what they're doing. And that's what that's one of the biggest things, if not the biggest things, that you're missing.
So how do you do that?
You put the leash on a dog. You get like a long line, uh-huh. like a 15-foot, 20-foot long line. You put it on. You put it on a training collar, would be recommended. I'd recommend like a training collar, which we can talk about in a minute. But it's really important for you to make sure that when you're doing this training, that your dog has some sort of idea that if they don't listen or they don't do the behavior that they know well, that there is some sort of consequence. And that's what you're missing heavily right now.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does.
Okay. So it's important for you to put the long line on the dog. We'll talk about a collar here in a minute, like what's the best collar. But it's important for you right now to make sure that when you say, dog come, and they don't, there's some sort of consequence for that. Because right now, that's what you're doing. Take your head out of the steak bowl and come to me instead. So you have to have really, really good training, right? Which is something you haven't really, your training doesn't have good foundation right now. So right now it's what I call one-dimensional, okay? So you are saying, hey dog, come. And if there's nothing going on, they'll come, they'll get steak. Perfect. And then alternatively, hey, dog, come, and there's the other dog. They're going to choose the other dog over your steak. Once they're done barking at the other dog, they'll turn around and come to you, and you're sitting there frustrated, upset, and confused of like, what the heck? You're coming at the wrong time. This doesn't make any sense. So that's kind of the deal here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I would recommend to start off doing. So that's why your dog isn't listening to the recall is A, you're probably starting off a little too strong. I would be recommending just going into your home and put one of the dogs outside, get the other dog, whoever's giving you a hard time, and you would say, you'd get your long line on, you'd get your collar on, you'd say, dog, come. And if they don't, you'd pop the collar. And you'd, basically, it's a correction. So you'd pop the collar, and they came to you, and then you would say, good. And then you would break the dog. So what questions do you have on that so far?
So I'm going to put the training collar on with the leash inside the house. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to pop the collar and ask them to come to me. I already did that wrong.
No, it's okay. The pop is the enforcement, okay? So think about law enforcement, okay? Law, which is rules, boundaries, whatever you want to call them, right? So what a law enforcement officer does is we say, hey, this is a 30 mile per hour. The person goes 70. So they're enforcing the law. They're going to pull you over. They're going to stress you out. They're going to give you a ticket. They're going to hold you accountable, right? So you're enforcing your behavior. So reinforcing, which you might have heard before, like positive reinforcement, which means you're adding something to the equation to make it happen again in the future. I want you to do this again. I'm reinforcing this. Enforcing is essentially enforcing your verbal cue. Dog come, they flip you off, you correct them with the collar, so you're enforcing what you just said.
Okay.
So it'd be the same thing with humans. Okay, be here at 9 o'clock. Employee shows up at 9:30. You write them up. That's enforcement. You're enforcing what you said. You're enforcing your laws. Okay. So that's what you're not doing right now. So this is a one-dimensional relationship. This is why most dog owners fail with their training, is because if you predicate your training off of motivation, there is 100% chance that when you go out into reality, your training will fall through because there's going to be something else out there more motivating. And because your entire training was predicated off of motivation, what you say and what you ask will fall through. And that's what you're dealing with. And millions of other people deal with it. So long line, dog come. If they come to you, yes, good come. You pay them. Positive reinforcement. Great job. Okay? If they don't come, it's going to be enforcing positive punishment where you're popping the collar.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I'm just writing it down.
Sure. So when you go outside, so you're going to do, I would recommend doing this in the beginning. Again, one thing that I would say is you got to be careful of is oftentimes dogs don't know the behavior. They don't know sit because they just hear food in your pouch and they put their butt on the ground. But if you don't have the food in your hand or the treat pouch shaking, the dog won't listen. It's out of context. So that's the other thing too. I would just mention that happens, I'd say 50% of the time. So make sure that your dog knows the behavior good. So dog come, good come. You're really putting emphasis on the word. And I would work on that for a day, 2 days, okay? And then you go outside and you do the same thing without the other dog. And you say come, and then you correct the collar if the dog doesn't come. And you would basically build the foundation inside and outside. So the dog knows the behavior well, sit, down, in this case, recall. And as you're going through this process, after the dog knows the behavior well, You're enforcing and you're holding the dog accountable, or you're giving the dog a consequence, or you're giving the dog a correction, however you want to look at it. The reason why most dogs don't listen, if they know the behavior well, is because the absolute worst case scenario is you're just going to ask them again. And when you have a dog that is going through, it doesn't matter if it's leash reactivity because they're anxious, it doesn't matter if they are seeing another dog basically in their yard and they're barking, these are things that you're going to have in order to be successful. I've never seen it any other way in the 13 years of working with dogs, ever.
Yeah.
It's never been the thing, okay? When you get a heavy, heavy distraction and all of your training is leaned on motivation, once you get higher motivation, all of your training gets kicked out from underneath you. You have to shouldn't say that. My recommendation for success, and I've never seen it any other way, is having that balance. That's what you're missing right now. So right now you go outside, you say, dog, come, bark, 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 bark. They're barking at the fence. And that's why you're frustrated. That's why it's not working. This is a very, very, very easy thing to fix. Super easy, because you're just missing a key ingredient. It's like chocolate chip cookies without the chocolate chips. I'm like, this is really easy to fix. Literally, you're one thing off. So that's honestly like the most significant thing that's going on right now. Some, again, just to reiterate, a key component here is making sure you have a good training collar, and also making sure that you're building the foundation. So don't, I would highly recommend doing this inside a couple of times just to make it as easy as you can. And then, you know, and then when you get outside, you can start working on some higher distractions. So what collar are you training on right now?
Right now I have martingales. Those are only what I use. And to walk them, I have the easy harness. Because otherwise, I mean, that's the other issue. They pull me. And then the rescue, she's actually aggressive. So that's a whole nother thing too.
Okay. So the pulling is the same thing. It's the same exact thing we're talking about. It's we just don't know heel.
Yeah.
That's it. There is no, so she, go ahead.
She does, like, they both honestly, like, they know all their commands, like sit, stay, leave it, lay down. So they know, like, the regular, I guess, basic commands, and they will do this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Refresh your home today at Menards with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Save big on window treatments at Menards. Plus, get them cut to width in-store for free. Visit Menards.com and view our entire selection of window treatments today. Plus, the weekly flyer and other great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
As long as there's no distraction.
Yeah. Yeah. So it doesn't matter then. I tell it to people all the time. It's like, I almost made a shirt about it. Just because. think about it. My dogs behave the best when there's nothing going on. Like, okay, so what does it matter? The only thing that matters is basically you have a very clear understanding that your dogs do not care about you and don't listen to you when reality hits.
Yeah.
And that's awful.
Yeah.
So
no, it's stressful.
It goes back to the same principles though. Okay, you can, it's like a checklist, right? First thing is does the dog know the behavior? Check. Yep. Okay. Are you making sure that you're in, well, I guess actually number two would be, are you asking the behavior in a realistic situation with the training and the skills that you have? Which means if you just started healing five steps and you're going outside, boom, outside, step one, with other distractions, step two, and with another dog, step three. So those are all heavy, heavy distractions. And oftentimes dog owners say, hey, I have this dog that's not listening and I'm looking at your situation and I'm like, if you do not have a level three dog here, your dog's not going to be successful here. You're outside, heavy distractions, you're with your other dog, and you're asking the dog to heal for long periods of time. And all those things, are they have to develop. So if you feel like your dog knows heal, just like you feel like your dog knows recall, and they're not listening or they're not doing well, it's the same exact principle that we talked about before, where, okay, you tell your dog to heal, whatever that means to them. Again, like if they know heal, great, I'm happy for you, but you have to make sure it's realistic. So heal means the dog walking at your heels. You've had to have worked on it before for several weeks before you apply it to outside distractions. And then once that's done, you have to make sure that you have good enforcement in order for the dogs to respond successfully and fairly. I talk about this all the time. I do not care what you use. I just want, I want to make sure whatever you're using is working. So there's things in the past that have not been successful with holding dogs accountable. The number one thing is a harness. It doesn't hold a dog accountable at all. It actually encourages the dog to pull faster and harder. So to me, it doesn't matter what you use. If you want some advice and some tips for the right direction, if you feel like you're gentle leader and your things don't work, in your easy walk, you can move to the StarMark training collar, which is just a training collar that has action. It's kind of like a martingale and a prong collar mixed. It has little tiny kind of prongs on it, but they're plastic and they're a very safe, easy collar to start off with. And that would be like the first step if you feel like, so let's say you go out and you say heel, and then your dog sees a squirrel and then boom, hits the end of the leash.
If
you're tugging on the leash and you're correcting your dog and your dog doesn't care, the equipment you're using is not beneficial or useful and you're wasting your precious, valuable time.
Okay. Yeah. So StarMark training collar.
Yeah, I'd get a small. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them on Chewy. Be here tomorrow or the next day. And I usually get smalls because the smalls are just a better precision-based correction. It comes with like a little safety thing on it. I would suggest using that, but that's the most beneficial thing to like. It's like the easiest way to start, and that's what I would
and
start.
Is that fine? I have two large dogs. They're labs, so would that still be fine? A small?
Yeah, you could try both. You can get a large and a small. They're pretty inexpensive, and if you order from Amazon, you can return what you don't like. But yeah, you could get a large. Depends on how. I guess it depends on how much they pull. And then if not, then the prong collar would be the, there's kind of a ladder here. The prong collar would be like the next step. And you kind of just figure out what works. And that's, it's really that simple is once the dog knows the behavior well, and you're asking them to perform the behavior in a realistic environment and they turn around and they flip you off and they say, do not tell me what to do. Then you move up in the ladder. It's all consequences at that point.
So I started originally with the prong collar and I did not, I kind of was successful, not that much, but once I started with the easy harness, she completely stopped pulling me.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that makes sense at all or if like I was using the prong collar wrong maybe.
Maybe. I am big on what works. So if your dog does not pull you on the easy walk, you use the easy walk. Like I said before, I don't care what you use. I just have a list of things that people have been very happy with. It's like asking me for dinner recommendations. I'll say like these three places are great. All the other things, I don't know. But these, those are the products that I recommend because I've just seen really good success with it, really good results.
Okay. Now, is that collar, the StarMark collar, is that the same one you were talking about in the beginning? I need to pop the collar.
Say it again.
In the beginning, when you said like for their training inside, when I need a poplar collar, is that the same collar you were talking about?
Okay. Yeah, you can use the. Yeah. It's a good question. You can use your martingale to start, because it's really going to be predicated off of the distraction too. So in the house, you might say come, and they're like, zoop, steak, sure. Because again, you got to look at your motivation. It's all currency. All dogs have different currency. They all, just like with humans. If you're like, hey, Tom, I'll give you a taco for something. I'm like, great, I love tacos, right? But if you're like, hey, I'll give you something else. I'm like, I don't care about that, right? Dogs are the exact same. If you tell the dog to do something and they turn around and they're like, yeah, I like steak, I'm going to come work with you. But if there's something more distracting, then that's when you run into trouble. So I think in the house, even today you can get the martingale and just pop the collar. But yeah, I would put those other collars on order. So that way, if you go out and you go, oh, yep, this isn't working anymore, I have to order this. Like, you already have it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I would recommend. The other thing is important is the pop. I have a YouTube channel. I have a lot of videos on my channel that go over, people like yourself who come into my facility with struggling issues with their dogs, and we go over the corrections, we go over the equipment, so you can look at maybe a good here's what I would do. I would look at the I have a, let me see if I can find it, it's on my YouTube channel, it's a prong collar video. It goes over like how to correct properly. It's not necessarily you're not going to be using the prong collar, but it's the correction that matters. So it's called How to Use the Prong Collar to Train Your Dog. And it's on my YouTube channel called Tom Davis Dog Training.
Okay.
Highly recommend it. That kind of gives you the sizing of the collar and it gives you the pop. And that's really important too, because like you said before, if the prong collar isn't working, there's a really good chance you're not using it right. And if you're, same thing with the other tools. I don't want you to be hanging on. I want you to be training with your dog. I want your dog to actually look at you and respond to you and engage with you and go, hey, I'm walking nicely because I want to, because I get paid. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to pull and I don't want to yank because I'll get in trouble. And that's important because that's the way that every single human being on this planet lives their life. Like, there's consequences for the things that we do. There's rewards for the things that we do. And that's the whole universe, right? So with your dogs right now, once they're like, no, seriously, I'm not going to come to work today and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to sleep in. I don't care what you say. There is zero consequences. Next, it's just like, okay, well, maybe next time. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. And trust me, this is, I mean, literally my job almost all day long, no matter where I go,
it becomes stressful because then I feel, you know what I mean? I don't know. I feel like I don't get anywhere. So that's where I'm just, that's why I started, that's why I was like, I need help because I'm not getting anywhere. It's, you know, becoming difficult.
So,
and then the younger one, the rescue, when she's actually bitten me in the face.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, training her wise on, she'll bark aggressively if she doesn't know anybody. She's mm-hmm. definitely barking at you aggressively, and she's bitten a few of my friends. So I don't know how to train that part neither, if any of this training would help eliminate that behavior, or it's a whole different training.
It depends on the context of the bite and things like that, but I'll just give you a general answer. Typically, mm-hmm. dogs who have a history of being aggressive the first thing that we look at is relationship. So absolutely, what we're talking about right now is definitely very, very important and relevant. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't tell your dog to come back when there's a little bit of distraction, then you don't have the healthiest relationship. But most people don't have that.
Yeah.
So give me context. Like, what's the bite? What are you dealing with?
Like a nibble. It's not, you know, drawn blood. It's more like warning you to back off, get away, don't come in my house.
So this is like a correction type thing?
Yeah. She does go to daycare. She just started with daycare. If anybody comes near the back room where the daycare is, she will bark at them aggressively to try to scare them off. So that's a whole nother, you know, I don't know, should I not be sending her? Should I send her? Like, that's, you know, I in my mind, I figured, oh, daycare is great for her because she can socialize. She could, you know, always be great with dogs and be active. And it gives me time to train with the older one during the day when she's not home.
So is the question like, do you feel like daycare is making things worse or?
Well, that, yeah, I guess, like, am I wrong for sending her? Like, should I not be sending her? Should I lessen her days? Or is it still good and she just needs a little bit of correction and training? Because she's still, like, kind of the same at home. Like, she's still that aggressive protector and, you know.
It might be something that it's hard to say because that's a shot in the dark for me. I have no idea. But my thoughts are is not all dogs are good in daycare. So it's overwhelming. It develops bad habits. But I just think it's hard to excuse me, it's hard to say whether or not that's a good thing or a bad thing when you yourself don't have the best foundation with your dog. So it'd be different if you were like, oh, my dog listens to me. They're sweet as a button, and we have the best, healthiest relationship ever. I can do anything with my dog off leash, and then we go to daycare and it changes. I just think that your relationship with your dog is not where it needs to be. It's not super healthy because you can't ask your dog to do something and they do it when they want it. They're bratty, essentially. You're like, hey, do this. They're like, no, I'm gonna do that. Yeah, right. And then, okay, so there's your base. That's your base. Okay. Then you bring your dogs to daycare and they start being mouthy and they start acting up and they start getting possessive and protective and bullying. How would you know whether or not that's really what they want to do? You don't. You have no idea because you don't have, like, if you had really good control and really good relationship and really good training with your dog, you would be able to fairly make decisions on what's appropriate and what's not for your dog. But right now you don't. Your dog won't even listen to you. So that's my answer.
Makes sense. And then you have you so for your other like training stuff, is it all online? So the only thing I would not be able to get to Clifton Park where you have like the actual classes. I guess I don't know if either someone were to bring the dog, but it's kind of like, you know, I'm part of the behavior also, so it's like I'm part of the issue. So I think I would need to be there type of thing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that one.
So you are the cause and the solution to everything with your dogs. So you would need my suggestion is you would need to be involved with the training. Because you can drop your dog off for a board and train or whatever, but it's up to you. Has nothing to do with your dog. Nothing. I can get your dog to do the things that you've been trying to do for the last year in 20 minutes. Easily, maybe less. So I'm just saying that you are the one that has to put in the work because what good is it for you to go in and, you know, bring your dog to professionals and see what they can do? The most important thing is you learn how to do this because this isn't, This is
Yeah,
that's an
no,
important
I
thing.
fully agree. So the other thing is then you have the training classes I can do online or no?
I
Like,
don't.
please?
I the only thing
Oh,
that I
okay.
offer is this and like the online consulting. I do, the only time I train at my facility is or New York in general is my 3-day transformation program, which is a Thursday through Saturday. So it's Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday morning. That's the only program that I have, but we do have private. I know that you said you couldn't get the Clifton Park anyway, so that's none of that matters. None of that matters. What I do, but this is the only online thing that we do. We used to have an online portal, but in this, I'm too busy right now to do that. We might start it again next year.
Got you. So I'm just trying to think. So how much is it for if I do like the phone calls with you? What are the pricings on that?
You just a la carte it just like you did with this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, same thing. You could send me footage and, you know, show me what you're doing. That would be helpful. If you sent me, like, you know, a list of things that you're working on, I could definitely look at it there. But yeah, I mean, that would be helpful.
Okay. I'm just trying to think of what else. Yeah, I mean, because I think, like, obviously you gave me a lot of good input and what to do. So, I mean, it was definitely helpful.
Good. Glad.
I'm just trying to think of what else. Because, I mean, it would be helpful. I don't know what your thoughts are, because you're going to know more. Like, would it be helpful to have someone come to, like, my home, like, every other week to, I don't know, I guess, train or go over things?
Yeah.
Or would it not?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it would definitely be helpful.
Do you know anyone that is as good as you that does that or not? Since that you don't do the home thing?
I don't know anybody that does in-home training. Okay. And it's tough for me to recommend just because it's been so inconsistent over the years. Like, I can't even find a dog walker for my own dogs. Like, it's really tough to find. Yeah. It's really tough to find. I think do what you already did. Like, reach out to the community and say, hey, but what you have to look out for, and this is just me being honest. This is just me being honest. You have to just look out for kind of what you did before, where you're only doing positive reinforcement training. That will not get you anywhere with what you're doing.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I just felt like, you know, the few trainers I had, they were just pointless. Like, they told me what I could look up on YouTube and figure out. So exactly. It was kind of like, well, I already knew that. Like, you, with you just talking to me on the phone, you were able to help me more than they've helped me with a few sessions. So it's just like, I don't know. So I'm probably just better off doing. Now, how often do you do the phone calls?
It's my schedule basically is released like every 2 weeks, so you can book them. It's kind of like booking anything online, like reservations. Like, you can book up to 2 weeks in advance. Just depends on my schedule. So it just you just have to kind of check in with that and take your time with figuring that out.
Yeah, so I'll probably just stick with that then, since you know what I mean. You already gave me a lot of like good stuff to work on and go over. So
cool.
Oh, the other question was, from the different people that I've trained with, because I suggested, like, should I try an e-collar? And they were saying no, because if you have it on them and you're training with it and you get to the point where, like, you're zapping them or whatever it's called, the one dog's gonna think either, like, the dog that I am zapping is going to think either something happened with the fence did it, so now they're going to have anxiety over that, or they're going to think the other dog did it and they're going to go after the other dog.
So. None of that makes any sense to me, and I've been professionally using the remote collar now for a long time. That's not applicable. You're probably listening to people who have never used the remote collar properly, and the information and the recommendations they provide are false.
Okay.
Yeah. So here's the thing that you're learning for sure, and the things that I want you to remember and be mindful of. The dog training industry is like the food industry. You're going to say, hey, any recommendations for Italian? You're going to get 100 different recommendations. You're going to get some people that says, nope, that's awful. Yep, that's the best I've ever had, etc. Okay? You just have to start, unfortunately, like most things in life, you're just going to have to start investigating a little bit into things to see if things are true. Do not take things off the surface, because you're going to get that. You're going to get this person that's like, I ate there once and it was cold in there, therefore their food sucks. Like, that's the dog training industry. Like, that's just how it goes. Like, if you look at, for an example, not just my reviews, but dog trainers' reviews out there, it's typically hundreds of five-star reviews, and a handful of one-star reviews. And that tells you, here's what that tells you, is that tells you that people are typically extremely happy with the services, and then there's a handful of people that were not happy and disappointed with either their policies or very small things. But if you're getting equal 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5-star reviews, that means that the service and the company are pretty much, it's a hit or miss, right? But when you go from hundreds of 5-star reviews and maybe 10 1-star reviews, so my point is it's the same thing with any other industry, is you're going to get, there has to be context. The remote caller training is the advanced modern technology and the most advanced thing that we can do with our dogs on leash and off leash as far as timing goes. If you ask the question, just the fact that people told you that e-callers zap your dog tells me, I don't even need to finish this sentence, but it just tells you everything that you need to know. Like, it, so many people have no idea about what they're talking about that you just have to have sit down, real life conversations with people. Cause I can explain the remote caller training to you and you're going to leave the conversation going, holy shit, what were they talking about? That makes no sense. This, it's all context. And it's not that they're wrong. It's kind of the blind leading blind though. They've never used it. They're not professionals. And if they are, I've never met a professional dog trainer that has properly used the remote caller and didn't agree with how it works. Same thing with the prong caller, so on and so forth. It just, it doesn't happen. Anybody who strongly disagrees in a radical way about something has never used it. So everything you said about what people said about the remote caller is under the way that I train with the remote caller is apples to oranges. It makes zero sense what they said.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's where, because I was just like, I don't freaking know. And I didn't want to go Googling it because, you know, Google's going to give you 20 different reviews on what to do and don't do with it. And it's just like, I don't know. It's just better to ask a professional.
It 100% is. You just have to be reasonable with yourself. You have to be rational with other people and you have to read between the lines.
Yeah. So now what are your thoughts in my situation though? Should it be something like I should try or wait and start with this first? And if that doesn't work, then go to the e-collar or?
No, I don't. I don't think you should be doing the e-collar training at all by yourself. I think that you should try to hire a professional that can come to your house, that can help you with the process. The remote, I think you need to learn how to handle your dogs. Because right now you don't. Yeah. So the remote caller is like the advanced part of that. The remote caller is like sending an email, but right now you can't form a sentence. That's the way I'm looking at it. And that's right. Listen, obviously that's no offense. I don't mean that offensively.
No, I know.
I want you to understand how this should help. This should be relieving to you. To me, I'm telling you from my point of view, that's what I'm seeing. Is you're like, oh, should I advance this training? I'm like, what training? What are we talking about? What are we advancing?
The dogs aren't even trained.
Exactly. So I just personally think you going into my YouTube channel is free, and my YouTube channel is pretty much consistently filled with dog owners just like you who are struggling pretty much from start to finish on handling. And I think that's a good place to start, just to get the juices flowing of like what you should start doing. And I think that's going to open your eyes like, this makes sense. And you're going to get dog owners just like you. Hey, Tom, I've tried these other trainers. This isn't working. My dog's out of control. La, la, la. And then one by one by one by one by 1,000, you'll find resources for you for free, of a lot of evidence on what is working and what is not.
Okay, so I'll start with that basic training and then gradually down the road, if needed, do the e-collar then basically? Like once they're trained to me?
Yeah, the e-collar is the finishing touches. That is your advanced thing.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's going to take some...
I'll go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, it's going to take some time, but I just personally think, here's, again, you're like, oh, I'm having these issues, I'm super frustrated, but you just haven't even started yet. So it makes total sense. I think you should just find a training solution that works for you at your, you know, at your capabilities. And that's what I would focus on.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right. And then I should set up another phone thing. What do you think? Probably like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you could. It depends on how much time you put in, honestly. Like,
I train with them every day.
Then yeah.
I don't care what.
Yeah, I would.
Like, literally.
Here's what I would do. I would get I have a course. It's called the Kickstarter course. If you just look up Tom Davis Kickstarter course, it'll come up on Google. I think you should get, if you want, like, where do I start? How do I start? That goes over the enforcement. That goes over the collars. That goes over thresholds. That goes over base. That's exactly, it's called the Kickstarter course for that reason. Okay. Tom, where do I start? Okay. I need to restart shit. Okay. That's the restart course. That kind of just gives you, I do it with a puppy. It's just like, hey, here's how to start. Because I don't care if you have a 7-year-old, 5-year-old, or a 3-month-old dog. If your dog doesn't go through this foundation, it's going to be very difficult for you to be successful. I don't care what age, what collar or what breed or what collars you're using. So I would suggest that, and then watch my free dog training videos online. And then I would do that for the rest of the week, see how you feel. And then if you feel like you need more clarity, then yeah, you can do that. But that's what I would recommend.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. Cool.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Terry. I appreciate you reaching out. I wish you the best of luck. I genuinely think that you just haven't started yet, and I understand that you're frustrated, but to me, I'm like, you have so much room to grow because you haven't done anything yet. So I think you'll be, I think you'll do fine.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Cool. All right. Thank you. Good luck.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.